All right, welcome back, and from one Dennis Stuckey Show Hall of Famer to another.
That's right.
We go from, Costanzo says hi. I don't think he really meant it, but.
I don't say hi back. I decline.
Okay. Matt Shook joins us for a weekly visit. We always like to talk Pistons basketball. After a really good effort in Portland, well, after the first quarter, because the first quarter was brutal,
right?
But then a Pistons team that stop and think about who plays for the Pistons these days, and they scored 21 straight in that game against Portland. They went on a 21-0 run. I don't know if that says something about the Pistons or says something about Portland.
Yeah, Portland's really struggling right now. They're a team that's hard to believe, but they're outside of the playoff picture in the Western Conference. Dame Lillard out with an injury for another few games at least. So, and not really a good defensive team anyway. So, yeah, that game was peaks and valleys for sure, but stayed in it until the very end against a decent team in Portland. But, of course, last night in Denver, they were in it for 2.5 quarters or so, but then, of course, Denver, as you would expect, pulled away, a tough team to beat, especially on the road. So the Pistons, in their current form, aren't going to be giving teams like Portland, or I'm sorry, like Denver, any kind of good game.
Yeah, that was Denver's 40th win, and I guess I haven't been playing close enough attention because that caught me off guard a little bit. I knew they had a good team. I didn't realize that they had the second best record out west because, to be honest about it, I had to stop and think about who even plays on Denver anymore.
Yeah, Denver's just one of those really, really solid regular season teams lately, and I don't fault you for not paying all that much attention to them, because until they make one of those long playoff runs, they're just one of those kind of show-me teams, and they benefit from being in that part of the country with the altitude, so obviously they've always been a tough team to play at home. But, you know, the way Nikola Jokic has developed into really, and a lot of the jokes were about how out of shape he showed up to the first part of the season, but since then he's been really, really good, maybe the best center in the NBA the whole season taken into account. And then you got Jamal Murray, who's a very good player in his own right. Some young players, Michael Porter Jr. out of Missouri, has got his back straightened out for now and is doing really well. The one disappointment that they have so far this season is the Michigan State guy, Gary Harris, who had such a great start to his NBA career, got a nice contract out of it, and now he's been sliding the last couple of years, especially this season. And he's going to have to get it together if this is going to be a team that's going to give the L.A. Lakers and L.A. Clippers of the world any kind of challenge come postseason time.
And you would think today's NBA fits a guy like Gary Harris, a guy that sits behind the three-point line and takes shots.
Yeah, and very good defensively, too. And like you said, when he was going well, he was knocking all those shots down, but he's just one of these guys that's had a rough go of it shooting the last couple of years. He's battled injuries the last year and a half, so there is a little bit of a built-in thing there. But kind of transitioning back to the Pistons, it's an interesting type of contract that he has, because it's a lot of money left for the next couple of years, and those are the kind of deals that the Pistons are going to be looking at possibly acquiring this upcoming summer, because they have cap space. There's going to be teams out there that don't have any cap space. They're going to want ways to improve their roster. And so a Gary Harris type of player who's really been kind of struggling, who's overpaid for the production that he's been giving the last couple of years, is the kind of player that the Pistons are going to look to acquire. And I know it sounds bad because you don't want to acquire guys who are overpaid, but along with that would possibly become another young player that has a lot of upside that's under a very nice contract, or a draft pick that might turn into something that the Pistons could use down the line. So those are the types of deals that the Pistons are going to be looking at. We're going to be talking about that on tomorrow's Locked On Pistons with Laz Jackson, about some of these players that you might want to look out for the Pistons to be looking at this summer.
The watching a Piston game now for me, Matt, is it's like two different things going on at once for me. Because when the Brandon Knights and the Langston Galloways and those guys are out on the floor, it's on in the background and I'm not paying attention. And then when I hear a younger guy's name, now I'm going to watch. Because those are the guys that I care about. Those are the guys that I'm interested in. Those are the guys that I want to see if they can play and if there's any chance at all that we can build around the four or five core guys, because Kennard's not playing right now, but when he gets back in there, he'll be one of those guys that I want to watch. But we know it's Sekou, it's Bruce Brown, it's Svi, it's guys like that that I want to watch right now. Christian Wood is another guy. He's just exciting to me.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head with it there, and I'll even take it a step further, because if you're watching Pistons games, and there's not a lot of people watching them, let's be honest, too, but if you are, not only are you kind of watching the young players and hoping they do well and not really all that excited about the veterans like you mentioned, but you also want them to do well. You want the Pistons to play well. You want guys to improve, but you also want them to lose, right? You don't want the Pistons to be winning games.
Well, I'm the same way with the Red Wings.
It helps out the draft projection. So, you know, the lottery for both of those sports, the more ping pong balls, the better. That being said, the Pistons are now on a 7-game losing streak, the longest losing streak of the season. I would argue that you don't want them going on some sort of 14, 15-game losing streak. I just don't think that's good for an organization and good for a coaching staff and good for a locker room. No, I'm not saying they want to win 3 in a row here, but when you look at Phoenix and Sacramento Friday and Sunday on the road before you come home from Oklahoma City and then Utah, tough couple of games that they'll definitely be underdogs in. Maybe if you're a Pistons fan, you want to ease up this weekend and try to go get one of those victories against Phoenix and Sacramento. Not both, just one. Try to kind of break the losing streak, get some positive feelings going. So it's okay to root for them to win a little bit, just certainly not a lot.
Yeah, the game the other night with Portland, that was exciting. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a late night, but they kept me interested till the end. I did not stay with them till the closing seconds in Denver, but I also had to come back into work and tell people about it. So it's like, well, I can leave and the game will be over by the time I get in there, and then I can just look at the box score for the final numbers.
Oh, yeah. No, you're not a bad fan and you're not a bad analyst to not watch every second of this team. There's no doubt about it. Detroit sports, you got to pass, and especially the Tigers this summer, you know, you'll have a pass to not watch 9 innings of those games, that's for sure. But, yeah, keep an eye on the young players, the developing ones. And like I said, kind of I think Detroit sports fans, especially Pistons fans right now, you're transitioning to the league, right? You want to get ready for the playoffs. You want to watch the TNT games on Thursday night, the Sunday afternoon games on ABC. You know, who are the teams to be watching for the playoffs? Is LeBron and everyone getting healthy? You know, who's going to be the dark horse teams that step up? So, yeah, I think you keep an eye on the Pistons, but you change it to more of the league focus, and also get into college basketball and who are the prospects you want to see them looking at in the draft too.
Yeah, realistically, and I know there's still, 22 games, 20 games to go in the season, so a lot can happen positioning-wise. But where are the Pistons going to fall at this stage in the lottery, assuming they don't win the lottery and get the number one pick? Are we still looking at a top 10 pick here for the Pistons?
Yeah, they're at number 6 right now. They're a half game out at number 5, so they're going to be right in there. The good news is their schedule is really tough the rest of the way. Luke Kennard might come back next week, but you certainly think that Derrick Rose is going to get some games off every here and there, and maybe even be shut down for the season if he gets some sort of minor ailment at some point down the road. So, yeah, they're not going to win a lot of games at all. I mean, this team that might win 4 or 5, maybe 6 more games the rest of the season, maybe even 2 or 3, if we're being honest. So, they're going to end up possibly as high as 3 or 4. The top 3 is pretty much the same. So there's no difference between number 1 and 3 in terms of lottery odds. They flatten out at 1 through 3. And really, when you're talking about 4, 5, and 6, there's not much of a difference between those 3 and 4, 5, and 6. Certainly you lose a little bit of the percentage chances at a top 4 pick or the number 1 overall pick. So my projection is this team is going to be, 6 at worst, and they're going to be right in there with a chance to get one of those top 3 picks. But I would argue that having 4, 5, 6, 7 really isn't that bad, especially in this draft, especially when the top 3 guys that are projected aren't, in my opinion, very high ceilings, and they all kind of have pretty low floors as well. So you're almost better off getting that 4, 5, or 6 pick, having a little bit less of a contract that you have to pay those guys, because you're talking about something like $15 million difference over a 4-year span between the number 1 pick and the number 5 pick. And if you're not really happy with an Anthony Edwards or James Wiseman at number 1, then getting a Killian Hayes or a Tyrese Halliburton at number 4 or number 5 really isn't that bad, and it could end up being a good thing for your team salary-wise going forward, too.
In that scenario, is there would you trade that pick and maybe try to get better quick that way?
Yeah, that's certainly possible. The report today is that Spencer Dinwiddie is a player that the Nets might be looking to trade as they're trying to get pieces around Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving going forward. So those are the types of deals that you could look at too, is that if other teams really covet those top 10 picks, that you could end up getting, you know, obviously you don't want experienced veterans, but you want guys that are young, guys that have a reasonable contract, guys that could grow with this young core. So something like that. Or if there's guys out, if there are teams out there that really like one of these prospects in the top six or seven quite a bit, then maybe you trade out of it and get a little bit lower of a first-round pick, or maybe even stockpile picks in future drafts, especially like the 2022 draft, which is the double draft where the high school players might come in. So that is going to be a draft that's going to be probably a little bit better than your average draft going forward.
All right. And kudos to Steve Yzerman. He could be an NBA GM. The two deals he made with Edmonton were more like NBA trades than like NHL trades, with having to help Edmonton out with their salary cap and take on salaries of guys who don't even exist anymore.
Yeah, the retired player, yeah. Stockpiling those picks, that's what Stevie Y's doing. That's what Ed Stefanski is going to try to do this summer. So hopefully Ed's taking notes across Little Caesars Arena of what Stevie Y's doing.
All right, good stuff. Tell them about the podcast.
Yeah, Locked On Pistons, a lot of good stuff still in the month of March. We're going to be talking a lot about the college prospects these next few weeks. But we'll be the eyes and the ears on the Pistons, so you don't have to. You can go to sleep early, and don't worry about the Pistons. We'll take care of that. On Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Himalaya, all those devices, easy to find. Locked On Pistons.
All right, good stuff. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thanks, Ben. Talk to you soon, bud.
All right. There's Matt Shook. We'll be back.